And we're going to take a look at this truth tonight. And you have your notebook there. If you want to turn to one of the blank pages, we can dive in and just begin to hear what God's Word has to say to us when we think of those that are unlovable. Usually those people that are unlovable are those people that have hurt us. And hurt is a reality. And there's no way that you can escape hurt. Every person in this room has been hurt. There's not a single one of you. But not only have you been hurt, every person in this room has hurt someone. And it could be as simple with your words, your promises. I think of a story of a father who had said to his son, Johnny, listen, buddy, this weekend it's you and I. We're going fishing. And Johnny had heard this story before from his dad, but inevitably something would come up. But this time Johnny's dad was like, no way, I promise you, it's going down. And so Johnny went out and, you know, he was sharing with his buddies, we're going fishing, my dad and I, and, you know, kind of making the buddies kind of jealous of this time that was coming up, and he's so looking forward to it, and that night he's getting his rod, his reel, his bait, his lures, everything lined up to go, and in the morning wakes up, and he's getting himself a bowl of cereal, and dad's getting ready to go, and all of a sudden, the phone rings. And picks up the phone, and it's work. And it's the boss. And what do you do when it's work and the boss? And Johnny's listening, and he's just hoping, Dad, say no. Dad, say no. Dad, say no. And he said, yeah, I'll be there. And before he could hang up the phone, Johnny's in his cereal, which happens to be alphabet cereal, spelling, I hate your guts, Dad. Dad walks out the door. Doesn't even say goodbye to him. Didn't even say I'm sorry. Comes home later at the end of the day. I'm sitting down to dinner. Dad's worn out. Johnny's got an attitude. Dad says, hey, Johnny, pass this. Dad thinks, what's that kid's problem? Looks over at his wife, mom, you know, what's going on? Daddy's kind of like, leans over to get something, knocks the milk. Dad, he dumps down his throat. Johnny jumps down his throat, and World War III erupts. And it's like, well, where did all of this come from? Now, for some of you, maybe I just described your afternoon. Hurt. Hurt is anything that causes pain or distress. It implies suffering or affliction. It could be imposed by an illness, a loss, a misfortune. I called one of my dear buddies today. He's in Indianapolis at All Children's Hospital with his 15-year-old son who has gone through a surgical procedure that has necessitated several days in the hospital, and he had a concave chest. And they had to go in and they had to break the chest and raise the chest and put steel bars. And man, he's experiencing some real hurt right now. And I'll make you bet this young man could shake his fist at God. You know, why me? Your hurt could be towards an individual. Your hurt could be towards God. You lose something. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you've lost, you know, a loved one. Maybe they've walked out on you. You lose tangible things. When the market crashed, you lost income, loss of job. You're hurt. But recognize this. At times, hurt, this thing called suffering or affliction, are necessary to produce the meekness and the compassion and the selflessness that is necessary for eternal rewards. Can you thank God? when you're going through something that drives you to your knees. See, I think that all of us collectively would rather say, I'd rather not endure that affliction, that illness, loss, misfortune, anything that would cause suffering, but we're failing to recognize that God uses those things to draw us closer to Him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. There's a story of one of Jesus' followers that is experiencing some hurt. And we're going to listen to the advice that Jesus gives. Because, you know, rather than listening to Dr. Phil, we need to listen to what Jesus says. And don't you think Jesus is going to be able to give good advice to one of his followers who is experiencing some difficulty in his life? And so in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 21, we find Peter who comes and says to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. There's this sense in which, listen, keep on forgiving. Keep on forgiving. Don't quit to keep on forgiving. Recognize that people are human. They are going to fail you. They are going to hurt you. But what they need to see in you, if you were a follower of mine, is that you have this incredible capacity to extend forgiveness. You have this thing called the Holy Spirit that is within you. So this Holy Spirit that occupies you allows you the capacity to be able to love, have joy, and patience, and peace, and perseverance, and to bestow kindness, and gentleness, and goodness. And in light of all of this, you can maintain self-control, regardless of who they are, what they've done, what they've said. Forgive them. You see, we can tell people, man, I got revival going on at my church. Oh, yeah, man, they've been preaching and the music's been good. And yeah, we're taking a lot of notes. And then all of a sudden, God's going to squeeze you. And for good purpose. So we live in the state of oranges, right? Imagine I pull off a big navel orange from a tree. And the color is just brilliant, and the texture is just amazing. And you're thinking to yourself, this is going to be just an incredible orange. And what if I were to take that orange and squeeze it, and black pus were to come out? Yeah, I love that. You wouldn't expect that, right? You'd expect orange juice to come out, right? Well, you who wear the cross and have the fish on the back of the car and the bumper sticker that says, real men love Jesus, and carry around that 10-pound KJV only Bible. Mine's not that much better. Going around, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. And someone hurts you, i.e. you're being squeezed. What's coming out of you? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? That's why I think a lot of our kids go, you know what? I've heard you, but I just don't get it. She walked out. He walked out. They didn't meet this alimony. They didn't meet that alimony. That boss wasn't fair. That boyfriend found another girl. That sibling got more inheritance than you did. And you're not forgiving. You're getting squeezed. You know, nothing catches God by surprise. I really think he delights. Well, let's see what can happen today in Ryan's life. Let's see what's going to come out of his life. Dog, run away. And God's saying, let's see how you respond. So Jesus is telling Peter, listen, forgive, forgive, forgive. And then he says this in verse 35, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from his heart. There's this sense in which God wants that forgiveness to flow out of our heart. Forgive your brother from your heart. Now, you can look at brother different ways here. I believe in the sense in which he is talking here, it is not a literal brother, it is a figurative brother. It is not just a brother by way of a brother in close community, but it could be a brother by way of humanity. So when this suffering takes place, are you able to forgive? And as a matter of fact, are you able to go a step beyond that because you have the Spirit of God within you? And are you able to find a means in which you can rejoice in your suffering? So that's morbid. Well, it's biblical. Romans 5:3 says, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So here's the thing. I've got history with God. I've been a follower of Jesus Christ for over 3 decades. So for 30 years, I have been able to establish a history with God that reminds me that when I get squeezed and there's some sort of suffering, he's going to be there for me. And therefore, I don't lose hope. Romans 8 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Listen, if something gets damaged, lost, destroyed, stolen, taken, don't fret over it. This is just the passing lane to get to where God intended us to be. This is not heaven, and too many of us are living as though this is where heaven is, and it's not. Scripture says in Colossians, set your mind on things above, not on things upon the earth, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And we constantly need this reorientation, and we need to retain this truth and remain in this truth in the midst of difficult times. Gives us a better perspective. Now, when you go through some sort of heartache, understand this, that God wants to use that heartache, perhaps at some point in time, to minister to others. The scripture leads us to understand that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So let me give you an example. My mom and dad both passed away at a relatively early age of cancer. That was a hard thing to go through. My brother passed away at a young age. I lost my mom, my dad, and my brother. But when I have my dear friend Ben, who's teaching the pre-sessions, going through a season of life where his mom is going through leukemia and the chemo and the radiation, and I had to walk through that with my mom, God didn't waste that moment. And because I went through that with my mom doesn't mean that I'm going to have the right word to give to Ben every single time. But what it's going to do is cause me to remember how I was feeling. And it's not that I need to give a word. I just need to let him know that I love him. Ben, I'm here because I know what you're going through. I've gone through that with my mom. So God didn't waste that, but we want to take that hurt and we want to stick it in God's face and say, not fair. And God's saying, listen, I want to give you a ministry here. Don't waste it. If I take that job, don't waste it. If I take your hearing, don't waste it. Yesterday, my wife and daughter were walking over by a mall, and they happened to come across this lady, and they just stopped. They're how can I worship you, God, in this moment of my life, using whatever I have? I mean, that's how we're trying to teach our kids to live. And somebody taught Krista sign language, and you never know when sign language is going to come in handy. And they engage this woman, and she can't speak, and Krista starts to sign. You know, somebody who lost their hearing sometimes wants to shake their fist at God. And we have people in our auditoriums who are losing their hearing. They need hearing aids. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm in one way thankful for that person who lost the hearing that was able to teach my daughter how to sign. And then my daughter was able to take that as a hearing person and be able to sign to somebody else. It wasn't a waste. Maybe a bad illustration, but do you understand what I'm saying? This is yes, this is no. 2 Corinthians 4 says, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we have to live with an eternal perspective. So I want to ask you a question tonight. You may not like my question, but that's all right. I get to ask it. Who or what has hurt you? And what are you doing with that hurt? So I'm going to take the remaining moments, just draw from Scripture. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. This is... God's word is so incredible. If people would just open their eyes and open their ears and open their minds and ask God to speak to them through it, you'll find the remedy to everything in life, I believe, in God's word. There's an answer here. And I have people come to me all the time and say, well, how do I deal with this hurt? So the other night we looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and it says this, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, all right? So we're giving ourselves to God. That's where Pastor Todd challenged us. It's not just giving, ourselves in such a way, well, I've got salvation, but no, I'm giving you everything that I am, God. Goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You hear me saying that tonight. That by testing, hello, you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, let's jump down to verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Or we could say who hurt you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. Let me repeat that again. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance am I, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So let me unpack this. I want to share a couple things with you. Cures for hurts. All right. The first section, verses 9 through 13, is a reminder that you and I shouldn't cause hurt. And if we do cause hurt, seek forgiveness. That's what we're called to do as believers in Christ. And here is what true forgiveness looks like out of this passage of Scripture. It shows genuine love. So I had, my middle brother was 8 years older than me. Scott was epileptic and mildly retarded. He had the mental capacity of a six-year-old, but he had the body of a man. And I remember after my mom and dad passed away, I became his primary caregiver. That guy would exasperate me to no end. The phone would constantly be ringing. I'd constantly have to take care of things. I'd constantly have to do things. And then when he wouldn't get his way, he would act like a fourth grader. And he would yell at me. And he'd even get temperamental with me. And at times, he would even hit me or just throw angry, venomous words towards me. And you know what? I didn't always respond the right way. There were some moments where I just thought to myself, you stinking no good. You don't know how good you got it and how much I do for you. And I would just, I'd lash out at him. And people around me would see it. Now, in those moments, I would respond in the flesh. Who had control? I did. But when I cry out for God's grace and I would respond in the spirit, guess what? You know what? I'd have to look at him and I'd say, wait a second. The kid's got the mind of a fourth grader. I can't even begin to imagine what it must be like to seizure every day of my life, to take incredible amounts of medication, to be able to see people his age who are flourishing with the great trappings that life has to offer, and I sit in front of a TV and I pet a cat named Muffy. You see, genuine love causes us to take the other person's situation and show some sort of compassion. True forgiveness, it conveys honor and devotion to those who maybe have hurt you. Many families that I've counseled, and in many families there's hurt between children and parents, and the children want to take it out on the parents, but I got to remind you, nowhere in Scripture does it give you permission to not honor thy mother and thy father. Honor and respect are two different things, though. You don't have to respect someone's position in relationship to where they're at, but just because you don't respect the position that they hold doesn't mean that you don't show them honor. And we need to convey honor and devotion to those that, you know what, we've hurt. True forgiveness is immediate and fervent. There are times my wife's hurt me. I mean, look at me. Who would want to hurt me, right? I mean, especially my wife. I mean, I'm God's gift to her. Yeah, some of you say I need real help. I know that. But there are times when she's hurt me with her words, her actions, her attitude. You know, I'm just not going to say goodnight to her tonight. I want to see if she's going to say goodnight to me first. It's those little stupid things that we do. Do that with your children, do that with neighbors, do that with others. True forgiveness It's cheerfully expectant. It's persistent. Man, people look at you and they go, why is it that you just aren't bitter? Why is it that you're just not irritable and angry with relationship to this person? Because I've got Jesus, man. True forgiveness is sensitive and hospitable. Have you thought about opening the door to somebody who's hurt you? Bring them into your home and set a place for them? Doesn't Jesus tell us that the banquet table is being spread and we'll be able to sup with him? And yet, how many times do we hurt the Father and hurt the Son through our actions and our attitudes and our words? And he doesn't withdraw from us. He continues to pursue us. Now, if somebody does hurt you, here's the cure. Don't harbor the hurt. Grant forgiveness. That's what you got to do. So I ask you a question. Who's hurt you? When was the last time you got hurt? Now, I'll tell people, well, I've forgiven them. I just don't want their name mentioned in my house. Well, I've forgiven them, but I want to give them the shirt off my back. Well, I've forgiven them, but they deserve what they're getting. True forgiveness does not pay back evil for evil. This is what God's word says. True forgiveness, it gets along peaceably as much as it depends upon you, is what the scripture says. True forgiveness, it doesn't seek revenge. This thing called true forgiveness, it quenches the hunger and the thirst of others. True forgiveness, it overcomes evil with good. Coach drops you from the team. How do you treat him? Person tells you, you can count on me. You hear a lot of that in the church. Yeah, we'll be there. We'll serve that day. Yeah, we'll help in that nursery. Yeah, we'll, oh, you know, forgot. Sorry, something came up. Well, didn't you make a commitment? Yeah, but you know, things happen. How do you reconcile that? You see, here's what the objective is, dear people. Here's the goal. There ought to be a unity. And that's what many of us are really big on. Man, we want to be unified, except with those who've hurt us. And Jesus was saying to Peter, forgive. In Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 15, strive for peace with everyone. That word strive, can you just picture it? Strive. I can remember being on a soccer team at Highlands Christian Academy in Pompano Beach here and doing two-a-day practices and in the afternoon, man, just hating it. And yet if you wanted to play, you had to run the laps. And man, that heat bearing down and that nauseous feeling welling up inside, but you've got to commit to finishing the laps, and you're striving. You're like, ah, ah, ah. That's sometimes we don't want to strive with people. I had to strive with Scott, my brother. And for holiness, you see, that striving is not just for peace, but it's God's holiness within me being his temple to come forth out of me. The scripture says, without which no one will see the Lord. And see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. And we're going to talk about grace in the nights to come. And that no root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by it many become defiled. You see, here's the bottom line, forgiveness is a choice. And every day we're confronted, what are we going to do with this choice? Will you forgive? If you think back to that song that John was singing, it's a very powerful song. So I wonder, as you've been drinking from the water fountain each night, or I should say the fire hose, between Ben's teaching and the teaching on worship and then the main sessions, you're getting a lot thrown at you, but every one of us is at a different place, and maybe it's something that Ben is saying, or maybe it's something in the worship segment, or maybe it's here. Let me just ask you, what are you doing with last night's message? What are you doing with the message prior to last night's message? What are you doing with the message prior to that message? I got to just say this. Todd, I'm so encouraged to see how many people are out here tonight. And I believe you've said yes, you're coming because you want to draw near to God and you want to experience a revived life. But revived life is only going to happen through obedience to God. Are you responding in obedience to what God's word is saying to you? So who has hurt you? What have you done with that hurt? Who have you hurt? What have you done in relationship to the hurt you've caused? Have you extended forgiveness, not just in your heart, to that person? Tomorrow night, I'm going to share a message that is a liberating message that sets many captives free when it comes time to the issue of going to those you've hurt. Todd, come share a word about that. You as a pastor know all too well what people struggle with.